We started off 2 weeks ago listing the five different parts of the Torah Shebal Peh, and the last two that the Rambam mentioned were Gzeiros and Takonis. I wanted to speak a little bit about that today. Gzeiros and Takonis are the two parts of the Torah Shebal Peh that are Midirabbanan. What is the difference between a Gzeira and a Takona? A Gzeira means, like we have on the level of Dinim Deoraisa, you have a Mitzvah Saseh, and you have a Mitzvah Sloisa Saseh. So the same is true on the level of the Rabbanon. You have mitzvah loises and you have mitzvah saseh. Gzeira means, for example, min ha-Torah, one is forbidden to do malachas on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to write and you're not allowed to carry. So min ha-Torah, if a person is a righty, he's only in violation of ksiva if he writes with his right hand. If he writes with his left hand and it doesn't come out neatly, so that's mutter, min ha-Torah, that's permissible. So mid the Rabbanon, they made a gzeira and they forbade writing with your left hand. Or for example, one is not permitted to carry on Shabbos. So in HaTorah, the prohibition against carrying only applies if you carry in a Rishus HaRabim. If the area where you're carrying is not a Rishus HaRabim, it's only a Carmelist, then in HaTorah you're permitted to carry. Carmelist, let's say a camp, a bungalow colony. If you have a highway, that's a Rishus HaRabim. And you have something that's much less than a highway, it doesn't even look like a highway. If you have a major thoroughfare that goes through a big city, that's also Rishus HaRabim in HaTorah. But if you have a little village, or you have a campsite or something like that, that is not a Rishus HaRabim in HaTorah, so you're permitted to carry. But Midirabbanan, they prohibited carrying in a Carmelist, because if you'll permit people to carry in a Carmelist, then it'll lead, next thing is that it'll lead to carry in a Rishus HaRabim. If you'll allow people to write with the left hand, so the next thing is they'll forget about the left hand, they'll start writing with the right hand. So these are called Gzeiros Midirabbanan. They prohibited things. That's like a loisese. A loisese midrabbanan. And then you have mitzvahsese midrabbanan. You have to read the Megillah on Purim. You have to light Chanukah candles on Yom Tov Chanukah. And so on. All the mitzvahs midrabbanan. These are called takonas. That's the difference between a gzera and a takon. And the Rambam lists these in two different categories. The gzeras and the takonas. We're going to discuss it, why they're different. Now, what is the source, the Gemara discusses, what is the source in the Chumash for this idea? Where does it say in the Torah that the rabbis are authorized to introduce Gzeiros Midirabbanan? So the Gemara in Yevamis, on Daf Chof Aleph, has a discussion of this, because the Gemara there discusses Shnias La'arayas. In the Chumash, in Parashas Achrimos and Kedoshim, there's the list of the prohibited marriages. And then the Gemara lists off Shnias La'arayas, the secondary relatives. For example, if a person wants to marry his grandmother, this is Mutter min HaTorah, if he so desires. It's only prohibited Midirabbanan. Shlomo HaMelech made a gzeira Midirabbanan that you're not permitted to marry your grandfather, your grandmother. A granddaughter marries a grandfather, that's an Isser in the Chumash, but a grandson marries a grandmother, that's only Midirabbanan. And the reason why he prohibited it, because are you going to distinguish if you'll allow people... If you allow men to marry their grandmother, the next thing is that granddaughters may marry their grandfather, and that's a biblical prohibition. So the Gemara says, who gave Shlomo HaMelech the right to make this gzeira, the Rabbanon? Or the Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech made the gzeira of Erevin, that you're not allowed to carry, if you have an apartment building, let's say, even though the whole building is a Rishus HaYochid, you're not permitted to carry unless you put away a box of matzahs that's owned b'shutvis by all of the Shomer Shabbos in the building, and you rent from the Goyim, etc., etc. So the Gemara says in Erev, in the beginning of the second Perek, that this takana, this was made by Shlomo HaMelech, this is a gzeira, that you're not allowed to carry, it's an issi. You're not allowed to carry, even though it's a Rishus HaYochid, and you were permitted to carry Min HaTorah, we don't allow you to carry Min HaRabbanan unless you do X, Y, and Z. And the Gemara says there also, Shlomo HaMelech made a gzeira Min HaRabbanan, that you're not allowed to eat truma unless you wash until it's Yadayim. So the Gemara says, how did Shlomo HaMelech know that he was authorized to make all of these gzeiros derabbanan? You have many gzeiros derabbanan. Many gzeiros derabbanan. So the Gemara says, all of this is based, we have a tradition, this is all based on the closing pasuk in Parshas Achrimos. The very last pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, Parshas Achrimos says, Ushmartem is mishmarti, etc., etc., levilti asos, mechukos ataivos, etc. So the Gemara understands, Ushmartem es mishmarti, asu mishmeres lemishmarti. You should make a gzeira to the Isurim in the Torah to prevent people from violating the Averis Min HaTorah, so you should make Zeris in order not to come anywhere near the Aver. The question, and this is the reason why the rabbis had a tradition that Avraham Avinu kiem kala tarukula achelo nitno, and Avraham Avinu even fulfilled the gzeiros de rabbanon. The Gemara says he even observed the gzeira of Erevin, that Shlomo HaMelech was to institute. Generations later, Avraham Avinu even knew that, and he observed that. Where do you see that in the pasuk? Because the pasuk says in Chumash Bereishis, Ekev asher shama Avraham mikoli vayishmar mishmarti mitzvosai chukosai v'sorosai. So mitzvosai chukosai v'sorosai, that's an expression that appears in Chumash in many places that refers to the different categories of the mitzvahs. What does it mean? Ekev asher shama vayishmar mishmarti. So the rabbis understood vayishmar mishmarti has the same connotation of that closing pasuk in Achrei Mos, ushmartem is mishmarti, which is referring the exact same phrase, which is referring to the right, not the right, the obligation to introduce gzeiros, that you shouldn't go all the way up until the brink of the avera and then stop. If you'll allow people to go all the way up until the avera and then stop, so they'll go one step further and they'll do the avera itself. So the first Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "Asei siog latar." Every person has to make a siog for himself in order not to violate the laws of the Torah. Now there's a big question over here that we're going to get to later. We don't know enough to discuss it right now. The Mesillas Yesharim, which is a work that was written in the 1700s by Rav Moshe Chaim Letzato, a big Baal Kabbalah. So the Mesillas Yesharim writes that this pasuk, Ushmartem is Mishmarti, is really speaking to each and every individual person, depending on what his field is. If one person is a dentist, and one person is a rabbi, and one person is a businessman, each one has his own yetzahara, each one has his own problems, what he has to worry about. So each one has to make ushmartem es mishmati, asei siog latorah, based on what you do for a living and the people that you deal with, you have to make your own harchokis. So, and he encourages everybody, based on your circumstances, to make it. Depends what country you live in and what period in history you live in. At some periods, certain gzeiros are more important than others. So where did the rabbis of the Talmud get this idea that this pasuk is referring to the Beis Din? Ushmartem es mishmarti, speaking to each and every individual person. So why are we bound to listen to the gzeiros de Rabbanan based on that pasuk? That's a very good question. The Mesillas Yesharim doesn't ask it. The Mesillas Yesharim says that the pasuk is speaking to each and every individual person. So the question begs itself. So how did the rabbis have this tradition that pasuk is the source for the institution of all gzeiros de Rabbanan? I'll say, well, I don't have to worry. I'm a scholar, I'm a Talmud Chacham. I know that you're not allowed to write with the right hand, and to write with the left hand is permissible, so I'll never make a mistake. I know that you're not allowed to... I know how to determine what's a Rishus HaRabim and what's not a Rishus HaRabim, what's only a Carmelist, and I will be careful not to carry in the Rishus HaRabim. So I don't have to observe this Chumrah of not carrying in the Carmelist. Who gave the rabbis the authority to make a Gzeirah that applies to all the Jews throughout all the generations? It should depend based on the circumstances, like the Mesillas Yesharim says. The pasuk is speaking to each and every individual Jew. So the Mesillas Yesharim says like this. He says, whatever gzeiros are mentioned in the Talmud, these are gzeiros that apply to everybody under all circumstances. And then in addition to the gzeiros that appear in the Talmud, each person has to make his own gzeiros based on his own circumstances. So how did the rabbis of the Talmud know that? That they had the right, they had the authority to make a gzera that's binding on everybody. Maybe everything should depend on everyone's personal circumstance. So we're going to have to work on that a little later, but we'll know a little more. The Talmud even points out that this authority of the rabbis to make a gzera de Rabbanon is not only stumped to make a gzera that you shouldn't carry in a carmelis and you shouldn't write with your left hand and so on and so forth, so many dinim de Rabbanon. It even applies when it's in conflict with the mitzvahs in the Torah. For example, the rabbis were afraid that if we'll leave the din on the level of the araisa, that on Rosh Hashanah you always have to blow shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. And on Sukkot you always have to shake a lulav even if Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. Then most certainly someone will forget on Rosh Hashanah Shecholias b'Shabbos and carry his shofar in the street. Someone will probably forget and carry the lulav to shul. If everybody's obligated to shake a lulav, even when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, the likelihood is that many people will forget and carry on Shabbos.
That's a question. I know you're not allowed to shecht, for instance, and yet kavanas were offered on Shabbos and on Shabbos and Maranyot.
Right.
So why is it that this is permitted and this not?
That's a pasuk in Chumash, right? The Chumash says you're not permitted to do malacha on Shabbos. And then it says, and you bring the Tmidim al-Masafim. So that's an exception to the rule. You have many exceptions. The Chumash itself has many exceptions to the rule. We have rules and we have exceptions to the rule. I'm not permitted to marry my sister-in-law. It's an Issa Karis. Unless my brother dies, leaving no children, then there's a mitzvah of Yibum. You're not permitted to wear kilayim, shatnas, unless you have tzitzis, and you have to put in the garment is made from linen, and the strings have to be made from wool. Then we say that you're permitted and obligated to wear the shatnas, not case. We have a whole list of cases which are exceptions to the rule. We're going to have to talk about all this. Yeah. Yes. Lean at it. So the Talmud points out that the rabbis are even authorized to institute a gzera derabbanan, not only to prohibit things that would have normally been permissible, like carrying in a carmelis on Shabbos or writing with your left hand. The rabbis are authorized to prohibit things that we are obligated to do, and they tell us not to fulfill the mitzvah. They tell us when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, don't blow the shofar. When Sukkot falls on Shabbos, they tell us to violate the mitzvah in the Torah and don't shake the lulav. So where did they know that they were even authorized? What the Gemara calls yesh korach b'yad chachamim. The rabbis are authorized even lakar dovim in the Torah, even to tell us to violate one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. How did they know that they had that ability? Where is the pasuk? The pasuk that just says ashmarta mis mishmarti, asu mishmeres l'mishmarti, means that you should introduce gzeres derabbanan. But to go so far, even bakiras davim in haTorah, to be oikir a mitzvah, to tell a people to violate the mitzvahs in the Torah, how did they know they had the right to do that? So this is a big question. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has a discussion of this in his essay that's called Divrei Sofrim. He said the term Divrei Sofrim refers to all of Torah Shebal Peh. So Rabbi Chanan was a famous Rosh Hashiva in Europe. He was a student of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He was killed by the Nazis. Had a Shivan Baranovich, and he published this small essay that's called Kuntres Divrei Sofrim. The whole thing is only 40 pages long, 50 pages long. It's the second half of this volume that's called Kovet Shiurim, a collection of his lectures. So in his Divrei Sofrim, he points out that there's a famous topic, a famous problem that was raised by the Ramban in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos. That the Chumash tells us, in the Chumash Dvarim, that when we have a shayliki, when we're not sure what the din is, so we should go ask the members of the Bezen HaGadol, the Kamto v'Yalisa Lamokim, you should go up to Yerushalayim. The assumption is that Yerushalayim is a Gevoyim, we call Eretz Yisrael, the highest location in Eretz Yisrael. The Kamto v'Yalisa Lamokim, go to the Beis HaMikdash, and ask the members of the Bezen what the din is, and whatever they paskin, you're obligated to follow. You're not allowed to deviate neither to the right nor to the left from the psak of the Bez Nagol. So what's the significance of mentioning Yom in Ismo, not to deviate to the right or to the left? So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes a famous comment from the Sifrei. Rashi is the one who made it famous. If not for that Rashi, we wouldn't have known that. Rashi made famous a comment from the Tanoim. Even if the rabbis made a mistake, and they tell you on their right that it's the left, and the left that it's the right, and they're clearly making a mistake, you're still obligated to listen to the psak of the rabbis. So the Ramban, in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, quotes this Sifrei that Rashi quotes, and he says, how can it be? It's wrong. The din is that it's wrong. The first Mishnah in Hoirius, there's a Maseches in Mishnah, that's called Maseches Hoirius. Hoiro means the paskin. So that Mesichta talks about the psakim of the Bez Nagodol, if they paskin in error. So the first Mishnah on the first page in Hoiria says, what if the Bez Nagodol Paskin, the Chveis that you're allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos? And I know that they're all wrong. I marked their examination papers when they were students in the yeshiva, and I know that these guys only passed with a 65. They come got their smicha. I have to listen to them. It's ridiculous. But the Bez Nagodol, so if they Paskin like that, so the din said it's muta. So I start turning on lights. So then the Mishnah says, and then they have to bring a carbon because they caused everybody to violate an aver. So the Mishnah says, I'm not covered with their carbon because I knew that they were wrong and I wasn't allowed to listen to them. If a student knew that the Bez Nagodol made a mistake, or one of the members of the Bez Nagodol knew that the Bez Nagodol made a mistake, he's not allowed to listen to them. You're not allowed to listen to the Bez Nagodol when they made a mistake. So the Ramban asks, isn't this an obvious contradiction? The Mishnah says what we would have all said on our own, that you're not permitted to listen to anybody if you know that they're making a mistake. So how can the Tanoim and the Sifrei say otherwise? Al Yamin Shu Smov, Al Smol Shu Yamin. This is the first one who posed the kasha, was the Ramban in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvot. There was a famous rabbi who lived in Berlin, Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman, wrote a lot about biblical criticism, but he also wrote Shailas HaTshuvas, Melamed Lahoyel. which is three volumes. Now it's available in one book, all the three volumes. So in the end of the third volume, he has at the end of all of the Shalas Atshuvas, he has a few essays on topics of Torah. So this is one of the essays where he starts off with this kasha of the Ramban. How can the Tanoim say in the Sifrei that you're obligated to listen to the Psak, Afilo Imin Shu Smol, Val Smol Shimin, even if you know the rabbi's made a mistake? The first Mishnah Hari, he says, not so. The Seichel dictates that it's not so. And he quotes all of the answers that were given. He gives you all the sources, all those who discuss this contradiction, and then he, Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman, suggests his own solution to this problem. This is a famous topic. Herman Wuk taught in the yeshiva one year literature, so he told the students that year that the theme of his book, The Cain Mutiny, is that the authority is binding even when it's an error, and it's based on this Rashi. Oh, you mean Shul Smol Vos Smol Shimon. Thing is that it's not so. The whole yesod of the book is, unfortunately, it's an error. The whole premise of the book is an error, because the Rashi that says that the authority is binding even when it's an error, it cannot be so. The Mishnah and Hari says it's not so. And Seichel dictates that it cannot be so. If I know that the rabbi is making a mistake, I know the rabbi gives a treif hashgacha. A lot of people have this attitude. The rabbi gives hashgachas, he's not reliable. So I say, well, I'm going to eat it, and if it's not kosher, he's going to burn a Gehenna. That's not a cheshbon. If I know that this rabbi is not a Yerei Shamayim, and his hashgachas are not reliable, so I'm going to burn a Gehenna. If I know in advance that he made a mistake, so I cannot, I'm not allowed to follow the psak of a person if I know the psak is based on an error. So what is the meaning of this comment? Afilah yimin shu smal al smol shimin. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman suggests in his essay, Divrei Sofrim, that it probably means this. If the rabbis are making a mistake, of course you're not allowed to listen. But if the rabbis are not making a mistake, they tell you it says in the Torah that you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, whatever day of the week Rosh Hashanah happens to fall out on. And we tell you with the power vested in us, with the authority that we have as rabbis, we tell you, listen to us, don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So then the Torah says, Afilah yimin shu smol. They tell you to violate the laws of the Torah. Not that they made a mistake. If you know that they made a mistake, a mistake is a mistake. A psak and a mistake can't be binding. But if they didn't make a mistake, they tell you, we know what it says in the Chumash, and we tell you to violate what it says in the Chumash. We tell you not to shake the lulav on the first day Sukkot, even though if it falls out on Shabbos, even though there's a biblical obligation. So then it then says, L'sasa yomin ismol, afi yomin shu smol, while smol shu yomin. So that's probably the source for this din in the Gemara, that the rabbis are authorized not only to make zeres the rabbanon, to prohibit one from carrying their karmelis, or to prohibit someone from writing with his left hand, but even to make zeres the rabbanon, which is in violation of a mitzvah neter. That's the pasuk al yamin shu smol. Right, that's what the Ramban and others suggest, that the answer to the solution, the answer to the contradiction is, afilu, the Ramban on Chumash, in his commentary on Chumash, quotes a slightly different reading in the text of the Sifrei, that it should read, afilu nirem b'yeinecha al yimin shu husmal al smol shu yimin. When I go to the doctor, and the doctor gives me a psak that I should do this and that and the other thing, sometimes it seems a little ridiculous to me. But I assume that it's his field. He probably understands medicine much better than I do. Well, let's say when somebody in physics or in chemistry or in whatever, in archaeology, they say their opinion about something, and it's not my field. It's not my expertise at all. So you rely on the one who's an expert, even if it seems to you to be a little ridiculous. So here also the Ramban says that's what it means. You should listen to the psak of the Bez Nagodol. Afilu nirem b'yeinecha, even if in the eyes of the layman it appears that it's absolutely ridiculous. A lot of times the logic of a certain discipline doesn't necessarily have to correspond to common sense logic. So the logic of the discipline of the Torah doesn't have to necessarily be common sense. The logic of chemistry and physics is not necessarily common sense. So the logic of the Torah is also not necessarily common sense. That's what the Ramban says, that if you know that they're making a mistake, then you're not allowed to listen. And if you think they're making a mistake, then you have to listen. And how do you know that they're making a mistake? So that's what the Ramban and the others discuss. How do you know? See, if they tell you a scientific fact, they tell me that they tell me the speed of light, and based on the speed of light, based on the speed of sound, they're going to tell me the din is X, Y, Z. And I know that they're wrong. I know scientifically that they're wrong. It's not their field. So then I know that they made a mistake. But what if it's something else? What do you mean in learning? I know that they made a mistake. What do you mean I know? See, if I mark their examination papers and I know that these guys got 65s, So I know that they don't know anything, but if it's not so, how do you know that they made a mistake? So the Ramban talks about that. Ramban and several others discuss that possibility. Maybe that's the answer to this contradiction. But Rav Chana Basman suggests a whole different route. He suggests maybe I mention with small means that the Bezin tells you the Torah says one way, we tell you not to listen to what it says in the Torah. What if someone else?
If
I mean, the Bezin HaGadol. You can't tell the other people. If the Bezin HaGadol says one way, so everybody has to listen to the Bezin HaGadol. They're not going to listen to you. You should try to convince the Bezin HaGadol that they make a mistake, and you should publish. You should publicize the fact that that this is not correct. But to paskin against the Bezin HaGadol is a din of Zochei Mamre. So you have to get around it somehow. We'll have to get to that. We're going to get to that for sure. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has an interesting discussion of an apparent contradiction between two psukim that are describing the day of Rosh Hashanah. One pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Teruah, a day on which we blow shofar. The other pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as Zichron Teruah, a day on which we speak about Tkiyah Shofar. Zichron means Lahazakir, to speak about Teruah. So the Gemara says, so which is it? Is Rosh Hashanah a day on which we actually blow the shofar? Or is it only a day on which we speak about Tkiyah Shofar? So the Gemara says, oh, there's no problem. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on the weekdays, then we actually blow shofar. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then we only talk about Tkiyah Shofar. We mention it, Lahazakir, Zichron Teruah, but we don't actually blow the shofar. So then the Gemara says, but how can that be? But this is not a din min haTorah that you don't blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It's only a gzeirah midrabbanan. So the Gemara never really reinterprets the pasuk. The Gemara never really answers, so what do you do with the pasuk Zichron Teruah? So some of the early achronim say that it's not a problem. That is true, it's only a gzeirah derabbanan, not to blow shofar from Rosh Hashanah when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, but that gzeirah derabbanan was instituted already in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who instituted a gzeirah derabbanan. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he dictated it in such a way that there should be an allusion to this gzeirah derabbanan. This gzeirah derabbanan had the approval of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and that's why it's dictated in such a way, Zichron Teruah, to allude to that din derabbanan. The Gemara has another places that you have. It's not a din min haTorah because it wasn't authorized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it was approved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has the approval of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara has in other places that the takon of Kriyas HaTorah, that you should read the Torah Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, a minimum, at least Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, was a takana that was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's alluded to in the Pasuk and Chumash. It's only Midirabbanan. What Moshe Rabbeinu institutes is also only a din Midirabbanan, but it had the approval of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's alluded to, it's referred to in the Chumash. That's because it's referred to in the Chumash doesn't make it into a din deraisa. It's a din derabbanan made by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not the generally accepted opinion. It's usually assumed that this takana prohibiting blowing shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos and prohibiting shaking the lulav when Sukkot falls on Shabbos, it's always assumed that this was instituted centuries later during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, writes in his collection of drushes that's called Likutei Torah, he speaks a little bit about the issue of not blowing shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. So he just writes in a half a sentence, as we all know that all of these gzeris were instituted during the period of the Second Temple, and he gives a whole Kabbalistic explanation as to why there was more need for gzeris derabbanan during the period of the Second Temple than during the period of the First Temple. He hooks it up to the fact that during the period of the First Temple there was a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And when there's a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, even though most of the years the Jewish government was anti-religious, because there was a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, that's why there's less chashash that the religious Jews are going to violate the mitzvahs. When you don't have a Jewish government, it's run by the Malchai Paras Umadai, so he gives a whole Kabbalistic explanation as to why there's more concern about the violation of Averis. So that's why he writes, as we all know, that this Gzeirah and many other Gzeirahs were instituted during the period of the Second Temple. Be that as it may be, at least we have the source of the institution. The rabbis were authorized by the Torah to institute Gzeiras Derabbanan Neshmartem Es Mishmarti, the closing pasuk in Parshas Achrimos, and even to institute Gzeiras Derabbanan to the extent of Akiras Dov Min haTorah, even to the extent of telling us to be Mevatla Mitzvah in contradiction to the Mitzvah of Shofar, in contradiction to the mitzvah of lulav. And the Gemara has a whole list. Sometimes they tell you not to bring korban pesach. Sometimes they tell you not to wear tzitzis. Sometimes they tell you not to wear tefillin. We observe the second day yontif. It's only midirabbanan. We don't wear tefillin. There's a mitzvah in Torah to wear tefillin every day. So that's another example. Many examples of this. The Gemara has a whole discussion of this in Yevamos and Daf Peites. In fact, the Gemara there in Yevamos raises the possibility, if you have already this pasuk, the way Rabbi Hanav Asiman explains, you have already a pasuk that says that the Chachamim are authorized even to require of us to violate laws in the Torah, so maybe they should even be authorized to tell us to violate dinim in the Torah bikum b'yaseh. Why only b'shevi al taseh, not to keep the mitzvah of shofar, not to keep the mitzvah of lulav, not to keep the mitzvah of korban pesach, and not to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, and not to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, the few examples that we gave. Maybe it's even bikum b'yaseh. Let's say there's a difficult circumstance, a woman is an aguna, and the rabbis decide, the Gemara discusses this, not my case, the Gemara in Yevamos brings it up with respect to an aguna. The rabbis want to allow the woman to remarry without any get. The get was given, which is not acceptable on the level of the raisa. So let's say midirabbanan, the get should be okay. And yesh kerach biyad chachamim, lakadov min haTorah. The Torah authorizes the rabbis to tell us to violate the laws in the Torah. So the Gemara says, no, the rabbis are only authorized to tell us to violate dinim in the Torah, b'shevi al taseh. If they'll tell us not to fulfill a mitzvah, but to tell us to violate an avera, that they have no right to do. That's a very good question. We're going to have to get to that too. That's a very good question. You can't. From the rabbis in the Sanhedrin to the rabbis today, part of it you can, part of it you can't. We're going to have to get into that. That's a very crucial question. That's a very good question. At least that we have an easier answer. That's going to take a long time to answer. This we have an easier answer, but it's also not so smooth. Taisvis and Sanhedrin and Daf Peites claims that the source for that distinction between kum v'yaseh and shevi al taseh is the pasuk, either the closing pasuk in Vayikra, Chumash Vayikra, or the concluding pasuk in Bamidbar, one or the other. The Gemara on the first daf of Megillah, the base of Megillah quotes a pasuk, and there are two readings in the Gemara, whether they're quoting the last pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, or the last pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar. The pasuk says, Eila hamitzvus asher tziva Hashem b'yad Moshe b'har Sinai. Something to that effect. And the Gemara understands, Eile, only these are mitzvahs that are binding, the mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Mikan, from this pasuk, we derive, Shein Novi Rasha L'Chadish Dov HaMeyata. No other prophet after Moshe Rabbeinu is allowed to give any other mitzvahs. The only one who was given mitzvahs was Moshe Rabbeinu. So Tesis understands that pasuk not only tells you that no other Novi can be Mechadish, no Chacham or any Novi to be mechadesh. Now, what does the word lechadesh mean? So lechadesh is a technical term in Talmudic Hebrew. A chidish is a technical term. Chidish means dova hasoser saklal, something that contradicts the rule. So no novi nor bezdin is authorized to contradict anything in the Torah. So if the bezdin will institute exeret derabbanan b'shevi al taseh, that's not considered a chidish. But if the bezdin will institute something in violation of an avera b'kum v'yaseh, that's considered a chidish dover. So Tosfos says that's based on that pasuk. Tosfos shows that a whole Gemara discusses this. They show that this is the premise of a whole discussion in more than one Gemara. Of course, many of you may be familiar with the fact that the conservatives are always quoting the fact that Hillel instituted a prusbel. To demonstrate the rabbinic authority, the din is that when the seventh year comes to a close, Shemitah comes to an end, Shvi'is Mishameta is Besofo. If I lent you money, so I'm allowed to ask you for the money back. You owe me the money. But when a Shemitah comes to a close, it says, Nechumish, you're not permitted to ask for the money. So Hillel made a takana that if you make a prusbel, I go to a bezdin and I make a declaration before Shemitah comes to a close. I make a declaration that I give over all of the debts that people happen told me I give over to the bezdin. Then later on, I am permitted to go approach the person and ask him to pay me the money, because it's considered as if I'm representing the bezdin to collect the debt. So isn't this takona de rabbanon in clear violation b'kum v'yaseh of the mitzvah of the Torah? It says b'feirish lo yigos esrei v'sochiv kikorish shmita l'Hashem. You're not permitted to approach the loveh, the one who borrowed the money, after shmita is over. You're not permitted to ask for the money. And Hillel made a takana that allows you to ask for the money. So don't you see that the rabbis are even authorized to institute, to change the laws of the Torah, even b'kum v'yaseh? And therefore we should be permitted today to encourage the Balabatim to drive to the synagogue on Shabbos in order to maintain Jewish identity, because if they live so far, they won't be able to participate in davening, and so on and so forth. So this question is a very good question. It's discussed by the Talmud. The Talmud discusses this. How could Hillel make such a takana de rabbanon? What do you mean? It's bakiras davening atar bikum v'yaseh. It's impossible. He's not authorized to make such a takana. So the Talmud gives two suggestions, and it's a famous dispute between the Rambam and the Ravid, how we paskin. So one opinion, one answer given by the Gemara is that the takana of kruzbol only applies as long as the din of Shemitah is midirabbanon. If Shemitah would become in a Torah, then the takana of kruzbol would not function. Already in the days of Hillel lived 100 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. The Second Temple was right around the year 70. The Gemara says in Shabbos that Hillel became the chief rabbi. He was the Nasi about 100 years before the destruction of the temple. So from that time on, the laws of Shemitah were only midirabbanon. So if it's only midirabbanon, then it's not a problem. That's what we technically call heim omru v'heim omru. The rabbis made a takana derabbanon. So the rabbis are permitted, the later rabbis are permitted to tell us to violate that takana derabbanon. The rabbis have no authority to tell us to violate an aver deraisa b'kum v'yaseh. But to tell us to violate an aver the rabbanon b'kum v'yaseh, that they do have the authority. The expression used by the Talmud is ein koach b'yad chachamim laka dover min ha-Torah b'kum v'yaseh. The rabbis have no authority to tell us to violate dover min ha-Torah, mitzvah min ha-Torah. But to tell us to violate a mitzvah min the rabbanon b'kum v'yaseh, that they do have the authority. So this is one answer that's given by the Talmud, that only as long as the din of Shemitah is mid the rabbanon does the prusbul function. And once a din of Shemitah will become a din deraisa, when will that be? When the majority of the world Jewish population will be residing in Eretz Yisrael. Then the laws of Shemitah will have to be observed in Atar. Then the whole institution of Prusbul will cease to exist. That's one opinion in the Gemara, and that's how the Rambam writes. And the other answer that's given by the Gemara, and the Ravid adopts that answer, the other answer given is that we know that the rabbis made many takonas de rabbanon in the area of dini mamonis. When it comes to mammon, min ha-Torah, I don't owe you the money, and the rabbanon, they say, I have to pay you the money. Now, there's an iser of lo sigzal also. So how can the bezin force me to pay you the money if min ha-Torah, I'm entitled to the money, I don't have to pay you. And the rabbanon, they say, they're going to force me to give you the money. So the bezin is allowing you to violate lo sigzal. Isn't that a violation of ein koach b'yad chachamim l'kadov min ha-Torah b'kum v'yaseh? How can they change who has the right to the money? They're causing someone to violate the Isser of Geneva. So the Gemara says that doesn't pose a problem, because when it comes to issues of money, we have another principle that's called Hefke Bezen Hefke. The Bezen has a right to be mafke someone's money. So if they're mafke, they declare it ownerless. I'm not entitled to this money anymore. So Memele, there's no violation of Leisigzel. So if one should assume that that's the basis for the institution of Prusbul, that it's based on the principle of Hefke Bezen Hefke, then it can even work at a time when the laws of Shemitah will be min ha-Torah. You don't have to say that it's restricted only to the period of time when the Shemitah is only midirabbanan. So that's the position of the Ravid. The Ravid writes in his commentary on the Rambam, he thinks that the Rambam is wrong. The Rambam writes that the institution of Prusbul will only last as long as Shemitah is midirabbanan. Once the Shemitah will become min ha-Torah, the Prusbul won't be able to function anymore. And the Ravid writes that he thinks that it's not correct. He thinks we should adopt the other answer that's given by the Gemara, that the institution of the Prusbul is based on the principle of Hefke Bezen Hefke. Right. That's also Psukim. The Gemara quotes several Psukim from Chumash and from Navi to indicate that this is so. That's also based on
Psukim.
We learn out from the Chumash that the laws of Shemitah only apply when the majority of the world Jewish population lives in Eretz Yisrael. So that was in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, the majority of the Jews, hardly anybody lived in Chutz La'aretz. But after the Churban Bayis Rishon, and there was a Golos, even when they came back to Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, the Pesukim say in Ezra that hardly anybody came. It was less than 10%, less than like today. The religious Jews didn't want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Only the non-observant Jews, the Mamzerim, the Halolim, the Gerim, the weirdos, the strange people, the normal people, the normal religious Jews stayed in Borough Park and in Bovel. They didn't want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Same thing that happened today.
As soon as you would have, we almost have a majority of Jews in Eretz Yisrael now. I mean, that would be in our lifetime. Would that mean that the Dinei Shemitah would be in our...
Right. Right. Whenever the laws of Shemitah and Atar, then there's nothing to discuss. There won't be any Hetta Mechira for sure. The Rabbanut, every time it comes the seventh year, the Shemitah year, so they sell all the farms to an Arab in order to permit the people to do certain avodas akarka. This is all based on the assumption that the laws of Shemitah today are only made the Rabbanon. So if you sell the land to a non-Jew, based on a passage in the Gemara, maybe the laws of Shemitah won't apply. But if the laws of Shemitah are in Torah, then for sure the Hetta Mechira is not going to work. There won't be any dispute anymore. A lot of laws will change. The laws of Challah will become in Torah. The laws of Trumas and Maisus are only made the Rabbanon today, even in Eretz Yisrael, because the majority of the world Jewish population does not reside in Eretz Yisrael. As soon as that'll change, in the next 10 years possibly, then a lot of dinim will have to change. Yeah. So, does anybody know how to fix this thing? Ah. Thank you. Further apart from each other. Solved already. Okay, again, the earlier example that we gave, if a couple is married, they're married ben HaTorah. So the rabbis don't have the authority to allow an Eish HaSish to remarry. But if they would only be married ben HaRabbanon, so then they would have the ability to negotiate. Then there's what to discuss. Then there's what to discuss. Yeah. While we're on the topic, may as well cover a little more in this area. This halacha that yesh kach v'yad chachamim lakadov menat, the authority of the rabbis to make exera mid the rabbanon, to make exera, to prohibit us from carrying in a karmelis and to prohibit us from writing with the left hand and so on and so forth, is based on the pasuk kishmartem es mishmarti. So the Talmud has a comment based on this phrase. Asu mishmeres l'mishmarti, v'lo mishmeres l'mishmeres. The Gemara says you're not permitted to make a gzera l'gzera. The rabbis, if they're concerned that someone may do an avera deraisa, are authorized by the Chumash to institute a gzera midirabbanon. Aseis yog la'Torah. But what if there's a circumstance where they're afraid that people will violate an avera derabbanon? So then the Gemara says that they are not authorized to make a gzera to prevent people from violating an avera derabbanon. And that's based on the expression used in the Chumash, that closing pasuk in Parshas Achimos, Shmartem es Mishmarti, which has the connotation of Asu Mishmeres leMishmarti. See to it that you make a gzera that people shouldn't violate my mitzvahs. But to make a Mishmeres leMishmeres leMishmarti, that's already too much. And in fact, the Prima Godim writes in his Sefer, he quoted from the Prima Godim in his Hakdamah to Shulchan Aruch, his Psicha Kolelus L'Orach Chaim. He writes that in his opinion, if the Bezdin will make a gzera l'gzera, then like a gzera d'rabbanon to prevent people from violating an avera d'rabbanon, he thinks the Bezdin will be in violation of Bal Taisif, because there is a din in the Chumash Bal Taisif. You're not allowed to add on to the laws of the Torah. So the Torah authorizes the rabbis under certain circumstances to add on things. When they're not authorized to add on things, then they're not allowed to, and they too are subject to the violation of Bal Taisif. It applies to individuals and applies to the Bezdin as well. So the rabbis have to be careful when they're making the gzera d'rabbanon. Similar principle the Gemara has is that the rabbis are only authorized to make a gzera derabbanon if there's really concern that people are going to violate the avera deraisa. Let's say it's a far-fetched possibility. Once every 100 years someone will violate an avera derabbanon. So because of that, they make everybody a hardship. They say no one is allowed to carry in a karmelis because maybe once in 100 years this will mislead someone into carrying into a rishus haram. So the Gemara says if you have a milsa deloy shchicha, a matter, that's very far-fetched. There's really nothing to be worried about. You make everybody crazy, you make millions of Jews crazy, you make them stand on their head because one person may violate an avera once in 100 years. So the Gemara says they have no authority, they have no right to make such a gzera derabbanon. If you have a milsa delo shchicha, loy gozra bei rabbanon. The rabbis have no right. There's not sufficient cause, there's not sufficient reason. either if the concern is very far-fetched, or if the concern is real, but they're only concerned that someone will violate an Aveir de Rabbanon, that's considered not sufficient reason to institute a Gzeir de Rabbanon, and they're not allowed to institute it, and if they do, then the Bezin themselves would be in violation of Baal Tosef. Majority of the people will. Then the Gemara says they have to look around. Then they're not allowed to make a gzera in that case either. The Gemara has a pasuk also for that. If it's ein gozim gzera la tzibur, en lakein rei ba tzibur yicholim lamed boy. If the Bezin sees that the majority of the tzibur will not be able to observe this gzera, even though there is need for the gzera, then the Gemara says they're not permitted to institute the gzera. You have to go along with the people. If they're paskening what a real din is, if they're paskening what the din is in Hilchos Shabbos, and they know the majority of the Jews in America all over the world are not observant, and they're not going to listen to the din. The din is a din, whether the people listen or the people don't listen. But if you're talking about making a gzera de rabbanon, instituting a new gzera de rabbanon, then the Gemara says don't make it impossible. If they're not going to listen, so you don't give them another aver that they'll simply be in violation of. I don't hear. What do you say? We don't pass like that. We pass him as a minig. It's not a takana. There's a dispute in Shulchan Aruch, and we pass him that it's only a minhag. Yeah. I'm sure there are cases like that, that the people started a minhag on their own, and the rabbis thought it was a nice idea, and then they made it into a takana de rabbono. Yeah, I'm sure there are many cases like that. That case happens to be a dispute, and we paskin not so. We paskin that's only a minute. The Bezin has to enact it as a takan. They have to make an official enactment. Yeah. Now, this is the first category of Gzeiras de Rabbanim. Then the Rambam said there's another category. We started off, there are five parts to the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Rambam had the fourth and the fifth are the area of Dinam de Rabbanon, which he broke down to two different categories. One is Gzeiras, one is Takanah. The institution of all Gzeiras, that was very old. That's the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Anshei Knesset HaGadol Lahem Amar Shlosha Dvarim Asei Siyog LaTorah. And Asei Siyog LaTorah is based on this Pasuk, the last Pasuk, and Achrei Moshe Shmartem Es Mishmarti. And the Gzeiras, maybe we even made in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, we mentioned maybe the Pasuk that says regarding Rosh Hashanah that it's a Zichron Trua. It's a day on which we speak about Kiyo Shofar, that may be alluding to this Gzera de Rabban that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, and whether it is or it isn't, but we know for sure that Shlomo HaMelech made quite a few Gzeras de Rabban. They were making Gzeras all along. The laws of Muktzeh were already in existence in the days of David HaMelech. The Gemara relates in Masechah Shabbos that when David HaMelech died on Shabbos, his dead body came out of the sun. The dead body is Muktzeh. So the Muktzeh, moving Muktzeh is only with the Rabbanon. So you see the laws of Muktzeh had already been instituted in the days of Dov and HaMelech, many Dinim de Rabbanon, many Gzeiras de Rabbanon were instituted very, very early. The first Takana de Rabbanon that was instituted, made a big fuss, that was Mikra Megillah. So the Gemara says the Nes Purim occurred during the period of the 70 years of Golus Bavel. That's our tradition. The Goyisha historians for years were fighting back and forth, whether the rabbis of the Talmud, right? And I think now the last 50 years they agree with the rabbis of the Talmud, that the Nes Purim occurred, the story of Purim occurred during the 70 years of Golos Bavel. They used to say it happened during the Bayi Sheni, then they backed that, back and forth. Now, I think the last 100 years or so, they're masking with what it says in the Gemara. It doesn't make a difference. The Gemara says the story of Purim occurred during the 70 years of Golos Bavel. So the Gemara has an expression, Mem Ches Neviim, that we had 48 prophets who were recorded in Tanakh, and seven women who were Nevios, just a very high percentage. It's a higher percentage than women in top positions in businesses. 48 men and seven women were the Nevi'im and the Nevios that the Jewish people had. And the rabbis say, lo hasifu shum dover, lo hasifu klum, lo pichsu klum, they didn't add anything, they didn't take anything off, until it came to Takana Mikra Megillah. What I mean, they didn't add, they were adding on all along, all the Gzeiras the Rabbanan. They always added Gzeiras de Rabbanon. The first takana, the first mitzvah of the Rabbanon that they instituted was Mikra Megillah. And then there was a big shaila. How did they know they had the authority to institute a takana de Rabbanon? That's not based on a shmarta mis mishmarti, asum mishmeris and mishmarti. It's not that they're afraid someone's going to violate some aveira or another. They want to make a mitzvah midrabbanan. So where is the pasuk that says that that too is permissible, that's not a violation of Baal Tosef? Whatever the Bezin wants to change in the laws of the Torah, whatever they want to add on is an issue of Baal Tosef. So they have the right to add on Gzeira derabbanan. That's the pasuk of Shmartem es Mishmarti. How did the rabbis know that they had the right to institute a takana midrabbanan, a mitzvah midrabbanan? So this is a famous dispute in the Gemara. The Gemara Megillah discusses it, and the Gemara Masechah Shabbos discusses it in connection with Hadlokas Neres Chanukah. Hadlokas Neres Chanukah is also a mitzvah midrabbanan. But the first time the issue came up was in the days of Mikra Megillah. So one opinion in the Gemara is that it's also based on the pasuk in Chumash that says, Loisasa mikol adavar she'agida l'cho yamin ismol. You have to listen to the psak of the Bezin HaGadol. Whatever they say is binding. The other opinion in the Gemara says that that cannot be. That pasuk is only speaking about a circumstance, as it says in Chumash, ki yipole mimcha dovah la'mishpot, when you're not sure what the din is. If you have a shaila, how should one observe kashrus? How should one observe shamas? How is a person supposed to put on tefillin? He's not sure what the Torah is driving at. So he asks the rabbis, and whatever the Bezin HaGadol paskens is binding, la'sasa mikol adavar she'agid l'cho yamin ismol, you have to listen to the psak. But here I know what the din is. There's no doubt about it. There is no mitzvah of Purim in our Torah. I have no shaila about it. The rabbis are coming to invent a new mitzvah rabbanan. That's not the way the Chumash describes. Ki polim im chadov al hamishpah. When you're not sure what the din is, we're sure what the din is. There just is no such institution as Purim, Mikra, Megillah. So who says that we're obligated to listen to the takana of the Chachamim when they institute something new, when they're inventing something new? That's not what the Chumash is speaking of. So the second opinion in the Gemara is that that's not based on the pasuk. The authority of the Chachamim to institute takonis cannot be based on the pasuk of Loisasur, but rather must be based on a different pasuk. What is that other pasuk? So the Gemara says the other pasuk is in the end of in Parshas Hazinu, in the end of Chumash Dvarim, that it says Shalovicho v'yagedcho zekeinecho v'yomroloch. Ask your father, ask your grandfather, and listen to what they have to say. The pasuk Shalavicha v'yagedcha zikeinecha v'yomrulach says, ask him history. It doesn't say that that they make a takana derabbanan. If that's not counted as one of the tayag mitzvahs, nobody counts that. Shalavicha v'yagedcha, ask your father and he will tell you. Zikeinecha v'yomrulach, ask your grandfather, ask the rabbi. Zikeinecha sometimes means that shekana chokma, a scholar, or sometimes it means a grandparent. That pasuk is not from the minyan mitzvahs. That's not a tzivui that you have to listen to what they tell you. So what are the rabbis driving at? That from that pasuk you see that the rabbis even have authority to make a takana derabbanan. It's very, very obscure, and the Gemara is very unclear. So the later commentaries discuss this. The Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo in Sfas in the 1550s. And he also wrote a commentary on the Rambam. The Mabit wrote a sefer on the Rambam that's called Kiryat Sefer. And Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote a commentary on the Rambam that's called Kesef Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Karo's commentary is much better than the Mabit. So he was zoche, his was printed on the page right next to the Rambam, and everybody uses the Kesef Mishnah. And the Mabit's was not zoche, it's not at all as good as the Kesef Mishnah's. So his is in a separate book, and it wasn't really in use for many years. But every so often he has something that's really of value. So he's the one who has an essay about this. And again, Rabbi Chana Wasserman has a very beautiful essay about this in the Kuntres Divrei Sofrim. And what they say, the gist of what they say is the following. What it boils down to is the following. One of the mitzvahs in the Torah is V'yahavta as Hashem Elokecha, what we recite in Kriyat Shema. We have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean, love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's one of the Chovos HaLevavos. Okay. But it's not only Chayvus Alvavist, you're supposed to demonstrate your love for God. How do you demonstrate your love for God? So how does a person demonstrate his love for his spouse? Or how does a child demonstrate love for a parent? So the child shouldn't wait till the mother asks him to take out the garbage, and he shouldn't wait till the father asks him to make him a cup of coffee. He knows that his father would appreciate this, mother would appreciate that. Or he knows that his spouse would appreciate something, so he goes and he does it without waiting to be instructed. So too, we should demonstrate our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu by volunteering things. God told us what He wants us to do. But we know what would, so to speak, Kivayochel, make Him happy. It's hard to use that expression. Make the Rabbanu Shalom happy. It's a difficult expression, but the Chumash, the Tanakh uses that expression. So we can use it as whatever it means in Tanakh, that's what it means when we use it. So we should go out of our way to volunteer things to make God happy, Kivayochel, so to speak, even if He didn't command us. So what, for example? So some people think, well, we're going to perform a brita on a baby girl. see that the Baruch Shalom wants us to do a bris and a baby boy, so that's the direction you got to go, so let's perform a brit on a baby girl. We know that this is a practice that barbarians have in the Middle East, in Africa, they have like this. We consider this an aveir. We consider this a mutilation of the body, and that's not a demonstration of love of God. That's going in the wrong direction. That's not going in the right direction. So how do you know whether you're going in the right direction, going in the wrong direction? Some rabbis recommend we should have 5 cups of wine on Pesach night, the 5th cup for the Russian Jews, or whatever, something like that. All kinds of recommendations. So how do you know if you're going in the right direction or the wrong direction? So that's what the rabbis of the Talmud said. Shalav v'icha v'yagedcha z'keinecha v'yomer lach. He asked the rabbis, and they'll have a feel for what would kivayochel make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. You have to have a sense. One has to get a sense from his understanding of Kol HaTorah Kulo as to what direction God wants you to go. We don't assume that God wants us to go in that direction to perform brita on a baby girl. Some may think that that is the right direction, but we assume that they're wrong. So in order to get a sense of what direction God wants you to go, you have to ask the Talmid HaChamim who have a picture of Kol HaTorah Kulo. If you just look at one din, you can't get a sense of what direction God wants you to go. And when the Gemara quotes that pasuk, Shalavicha v'yagetcha, that's not the source that obligates us to keep all the takonas the Rabbanu. Shalavicha v'yagetcha is not a mitzvah, it's not one of the Tariag mitzvahs. That pasuk is only megale that we should ask the scholars who will tell us what direction our Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to go, and this is binding mitam the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman quotes as a marshal of this. In other words, there's a letter of the law and the spirit of the law. So even if one is not in violation of the letter of the law, but if you know what the spirit of the law is, you have to know a lot of law in order to know what the spirit of the law is. If you have a big picture, then you can know what the spirit of the law is. Then you know what direction God wants you to go. So then you should go in that direction, even if you're not mechuyev. Let's say women, the practice is that women volunteer to shake a lulav on yontif, even though they're not obligated to. And women volunteer to listen to tkiyah shayif, even though they're not obligated to. We assume that that's the direction that God wants us to go. And that would kivayochel make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. Sometimes we say that it does make sense to volunteer certain mitzvahs. And sometimes we say it doesn't make sense. Let's say a person, we see that God wants us to sit in sukkah on yontif. He says if it's raining, you don't have to sit in sukkah. But he loves the sukkah so much, he wants to volunteer to make God happy. Kivayochel is going to sit in the sukkah even when it's raining. So the Gemara says he's an idiot. The Gemara says he's an idiot. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. He's a hedyot. Hedyot means an idiot. Hedyot, the word hedyot is from the Greek idiot. Commoner, the word idiot in the Greek means a common person, means he's not a scholar. He's not making God happier. He's not volunteering something that makes him. That's like it's not as bad, but it's along the lines of performing a brita on a baby girl. It's just as stupid as that. You have to be a scholar in order to understand what direction to go. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman gives us a marshal of this when Balak sent messengers to Bilam that he should come and curse the Jewish people. So Bilam understood that this is against the wish of God. But God didn't tell him, don't go, so he went. So the pasuk says that Rabban Shalom is furious why he's going. But he didn't tell him, don't go, so he went. So he says that one who wants to violate the spirit of the law while not violating the letter of the law is like Bilam HaRosha, exactly the Avera Bilam HaRosha. So all of the binding force of all of the Dinam Derabbanan is, we all understand that we're supposed to do the wish of God. We all understand that's Avas Hashem. Even if God doesn't command us to do certain things, we're obligated to do it. So that's what the second opinion in the Gemara suggests, that the binding force of all of the takonas the Rabbanim, we're not talking about gzeres. Gzeres are based on the pasuk Mishmart Emes Mishmarti. That was never a problem, that they had gzeres from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, possibly from the days of David and Shlomo. They always had gzeres. They didn't have to wait till the time of Mikra Megillah. The only time the Gemara raised, the first time the issue was raised was Mikra Megillah. So the Gemara says, Gival, the 48 prophets with the 7 prophets, women who were prophets, how did they never added anything on, they never took anything off. How did they allow this, the Mikra Megillah? That was the first time they made a takona de Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, either based on one pasuk or based on another pasuk. Now, how do we paskan aloha lamaisa? This is a famous dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs makes a big issue of this, that we paskin that the binding force of all the takanas de Rabbanon is based on this pasuk, loisosim ekoldav shagid l'chayom nismo, and the Ramban has a long arichas where he says, no, that's not the accepted opinion, it's rather based on the second pasuk. What's the difference whether it's based on this pasuk, based on that pasuk? Bottom line is we have to listen to the dinim that the Rabbana tell us, whether the gzeir is based on the other pasuk, Ishmartim es Mishmarti, or the takon is the Rabbana, based on whatever pasuk. Why does it make a difference whether it's based on the pasuk, Loisosur, we call Adovish Yagid Lecho, or it's based on the pasuk, Shalovicha V'yagedcho? So the Ramban himself tells you what the difference is. There's only one difference, halacha ma'aseh, a very obscure difference that's irrelevant as far as we're concerned. The only difference is halacha l'maaseh with regard to the death penalty for the zaken mamre. That pasuk loisosem koladova sheyagid lecha yom in a small appears in chumish dvarim in the context of the zaken mamre. The parsha begins like this: ki polim imcha dova la mishpat. Ki polim im, something is mufla, something is covered up from you. It's hazy, it's cloudy. We don't know what the din is. Divrei rivas bisharecha. There's a dispute in your village, in your community. Some rabbis say it's mutter, some rabbis say it's asa, some say it's a mitzvah, some say it's not a mitzvah, and they can't come to a resolution. Each one insists that he's right. So it says, "Vikamto v'yalisa l'amokim shivcha Hashem." You should go up to Yerushalayim, go to the Beis Hamikdash. That's supposed to be the office of the Beis Nagodol. It's supposed to be in the Beis Hamikdash. We'll have to talk about that. Why the Beis Nagodol has to meet in the Beis Hamikdash, and whatever they paskin is binding. And then it says, and you have to listen to the psak. Then it says, and the rabbi who will paskin against, if they issue a psak, everyone is bound to follow that psak. Now, if the fellow is an action, the rabbi is an insistent that he's right, and he says he's still not going to listen to the Beis Nagodol, and he paskins against them in public, so then he's chayiv mis. He gets the death penalty. Even though the whole issue was just talking about tefillin, tzitzis, krishma, talking about a very mild issue, no one did anything major over here. But the fact that he paskins against the Beis Nagodol, so the Torah says, he's chayiv misa. That's called the Zaken Mamre. So what is the din if the dispute between the rabbi, the Zaken Mamre, and the Beis Nagodol is regarding a din de Rabbanim? Would there be a death penalty of Zaken Mamre? Never discussed in the Gemara. The issue was not brought up in the Gemara. So that's a dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim, towards the end of the Yad HaZaka, the Rambam has one section, Hilchas Mamrim. Mamrim means one who rebels against the authority. Today we might put that in the beginning of the Yad HaZaka. He puts it all the way at the end of Yad HaZaka. Hilchas Mamrim talks about Kibud Aviyim and Kavod Rabbanim and Kavod Beis Nagodol, all the Kavod Basav Adam that you're supposed to give. So the Rambam writes that if the Zoke Mamre, if the rabbi paskins against the psak of the Beis Nagodol, even in an area of a din de Rabbanan, and he gives you an example. Chometz on Erev Pesach in the morning is only osa b'hanoa mid de Rabbanan. Min HaTorah, Chometz on Erev Pesach is only osa b'hanoa from Chatzosan, from 12 o'clock on in the afternoon. But in the morning, it's muta min HaTorah, and it's only osa mid de Rabbanan. So what if this Zoke Mamre decides the Beis Nagodol is too lenient? We should aser it b'hanor from the beginning of the morning. Or he thinks that they're too strict. We shouldn't aser it at all. You shouldn't. It's not right to have such a gzera derabon. Leave it on the din deraisa. Whether he's more machmo or more meikel doesn't make a difference. That's what it means, yomin is small. Whether he's to the right of the Beis Nagodol or to the left. Whether he wants to be more machmer or less machmer, that's what the Mefarshim Sefer means. To the right means more machmer than the Beis Nagodol, or to the left means more meikel. It doesn't matter. The Rambam says that he's chayv misa because he disagreed, even though the issue that he's fighting with them about is only an issue of the Rabbanan. Still chayv misa. And the Ramban quotes this Rambam. The Ramban in the Sefer, in his commentary on the Sefer Mitzvahs, quotes this Rambam, and he says, with all due respect, he disagrees. He says, this issue, whether there would be an onesh misa for the Zaken Mamre who disagrees with the Beis Nagodol regarding a din de Rabbanan, depends on these two opinions in the Gemara. What is the binding force of dinim derabanan? Is it actually based on loisosur? Because the Torah, whenever a person is chayv misa, he has to have violated, whenever anyone is chayv malchus, a chayv misa, some bodily punishment, he has to have violated some avera. So the avera for the Zaken Mamre is this avera, loisosur mekol adova sheyagid lecha yom in esmol. If he didn't, if the Zaken Mamre didn't violate that avera, then you can't give him the death penalty. So the Rambam is of the opinion that loisosur even applies to dinim derabanan. So therefore, he can understand, in his opinion, that the Zaken Mamre who disagrees with the Beis Nagodol will be chayv misa, even if the issue that they're fighting about is only a din de Rabbanan. And the Ramban says, yes, there was such an opinion in the Gemara, the first view in the Gemara, that the basis, the binding force of all takonot de Rabbanan is loisosur. But he says, if you look in all of Shas, all of Talmud, that's not the accepted opinion. He says, all over in the Gemara, you get the impression that the accepted opinion is the second one. That the binding force of the Dinam de Rabbanan is Shalavicha v'yagetcho, like we said, we know the direction that God wants us to go. We have to make God happy, kivayachol. That's mitzvah l'aves Hashem, just like a child who loves the Medrash, just like a child who loves the parent, has to demonstrate his love by volunteering things that would make his parents happy, and making the spouses happy, even if they didn't ask him explicitly to do it. So too, we should volunteer things to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy if we know the direction that he wants us to go in. The women volunteer to sit in sukkah even though they're not mukhayiv, and so on. We volunteer things even though we're not mukhayiv. And the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, commenting on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, the pasuk says, Ki tovim deidecho miyoyin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to the Jewish people. So he says he cherishes their love, Ki tovim deidecho miyoyin. He cherishes the love of the Jewish people more than wine. What kind of a mashal is that? So the Gemara says that what the pasuk, the Mishnah and the Gemara explain what the pasuk is driving at is, Chavivim divrei sofrim yoseh miyena shel Torah. Doidecho, your love, means when you demonstrate your love for God by volunteering dinim derabbanan. The Rabbanan Shalom didn't ask us to do these dinim derabbanan, but the rabbis understood that that's the direction, that's the spirit of the law, that's the direction that what God wants us to go in. So they told us, do this dinim derabbanan, that'll make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy, kivayochom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I cherish more, I love it more when you fulfill the takonas derabbanan. Chavivim divrei sofrim. I cherish more the dinim, your observance of dinim rabbanan that you're volunteering on your own. You're going out of your way to show that you really love me by going in the direction that I want you to go, even though I never ask you to do it. Yoseh miyena shel Torah, more than when you fulfill the dinim deoraisa. Yayin refers to yena shel Torah. So that's the source, one of the sources that the Ramban quotes, that the whole idea behind the binding force of the mitzvahs derabbanan is one's demonstration of ahavas Hashem. These are the two categories these are the fourth and the fifth categories that the Rambam was speaking of. The one category was Gzeris, and the fourth category was Gzeris, and the fifth category was Takonas de Rabbanan. Is there a difference? Obviously, there is a difference between Gzeris and Takonas. Otherwise, the Rambam wouldn't have divided them into two different categories. What is the difference between Gzeris and Takonas? So the Rambam's opinion is, we'll just mention it, and I will have to pick up from this next week. The Rambam's opinion is that when a Bezdin makes a Gzeira Derabbanan, let's say you're not permitted to carry with your left, you're not allowed to write with your left hand, or you're not allowed to carry with your left hand, is just as common as carrying with your right hand. So the Gemara says that's an Issa Min HaTorah. Sometimes people carry a valise and they switch it from the right hand to the left hand and carry a book in the right hand and left hand, but let's say dialing a telephone number or writing with the left hand, that's called Kalahayat. So that's only Derabbanan. So the Rambam writes that carrying in a Karmelis and writing with your left hand, those Gzeira Derabbanan, those can never be changed. Once these gzeris were instituted, no later bezin can revoke those gzeris derabbanan. But when it comes to a takana derabbanan, let's say mikra megillah, adlokas neres chanukah, then the Gemara has, the Mishnais have a principle that ain bezin yochel levatel divi bezin chaveiro, a later bezin cannot repeal an enactment of an earlier bezin, elim ken godel haymeda b'chochma v'minyan, unless the later bezin is greater in scholarship and greater in numbers. Let's say the original takana was made with 100 rabbis, and a generation later you have 150 rabbis. It's a greater number of rabbis, a greater collection of rabbis, b'minyan, a greater b'chachma. That's sometimes not so easy to determine, that the 150 rabbis later are greater scholars. Sometimes it's easy to determine, sometimes not so easy. So later, there is such a principle in the Mishnah, that a later bezin can only revoke, can only repeal a takona that was instituted by an earlier bezin, if the greater b'chachma or b'minyan. So the Rambam writes that this principle only applies to takonis, does not apply to gzeres derabbanan. A gzeres derabbanan can never be appealed, can never be repealed. And a din d'araisa, the third category, we said the Rambam has five categories. So one was pirushim hamakubalim l'moshe misinai, ayin tachasayin, or priyetz hodr. And the second was halacha l'moshe misinai. So there's nothing to negotiate about that at all. And the third category was the bulk of the Torah Shebaal Peh, all of the interpretations that the rabbis read in between the lines. The Rambam says that the Bezdin in every generation has the right to paskin the way they understand. And even if they're not greater b'chachma v'minyan than the Bezdin in the earlier generation, they're entitled to their opinion. That's a pasuk in the Chumash. It says, when you have a shayla, u'bosal ha-shofet ha-shiyya b'yamim ha-him, you go to the rabbi who lives in your generation. So the Gemara says, even if you know that the rabbi in your generation is not as great a scholar as the rabbi in previous generations, the Gemara says, yiftach bedoro kishmul bedoro. Yiftach in his generation has to be listened to, just like Shmuel, who was clearly greater than Yiftach, had to be listened to when he lived in the earlier generation. So the Rambam says that this din, ain bezin yochel abatel, dibi bezin chaveram, ken gadol haymenu b'chachma v'minyan, to repeal
Takana de Rabbanon requires a Bezin with a greater number of scholars and greater scholarship, greater B'chachma v'minyan, only applies to the fifth category, only applies to the area of Takanas. In the area of Gzeris, it can never be repealed. We'll have to discuss all of this. And it doesn't apply at all in the area of Dinam Deraisa. On the level of Deraisa, the Bezdin in every generation has the obligation to read the Torah the way they understand it. If they originally made the... If they instituted an expiration date, then so be it. But if they didn't institute an expiration date, then it lasts. Then it lasts forever. It all depends how they instituted it originally. So believe that, we have to pick up from this. This is going to be a major issue. Why can't the rabbis today decide that we don't agree with what it says in the Talmud? If you have to listen to the rabbi in every generation, and even if it's clear that Yiftach in his generation was not at all as great a scholar as Shmuel in his generation, so why can't you say that the rabbis today have the right and the obligation to say what they think is right? So this is what we have to discuss. We'll have to talk about Smicha too. Gotta talk about everything.